Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Here's the 0-1 pitch. Going to swing and a ball hit to right. Base hit. Gunn gets a good start. He's heading to second. The ball clangs off the wall and dances away from Duggar. Gunn touches third. The relay in plenty of time. And he is out. And that's how the game ends. Gunn is tagged out on a good relay throw. And the Giants will escape with a win in the series.
We talked about all that also. But let's say the situation played out as it did, and let's second guess that we keep him at second and third. Diaz comes to hit. What do they do with Diaz? They pitch to him or they put him on? And then Reyes has to hit, because if we pinch run Reyes, then we don't have a hitter in the pitcher spot. So if they walk Diaz, then you're out of players. You're going to have a pitcher hit with the bases loaded after an intentional walk. That was why we chose not to pinch run for any of those guys.
I guess this is considered progress. If you're the Pirates, I think you have to like the way the conversations have sounded on the station so far today, Chris. Because that clip you heard, the final call from yesterday afternoon's loss to the Giants, and then very strange kind of reasoning for it from Hurdle after the game, that has gotten a lot of talk. There's been a lot of discussion about it. And it just seems, just in what from what I've heard, that fans have been very engaged and interested in having that conversation, which when we get back to discussing moments in Pirates games and decisions, that tells me that there's a large quantity of people that are back to at least paying attention to games, right?
I think that's one part of it. For sure, but it's, I guess it's that actual statement, but twisted, or the meaning being a little bit different. You say paying attention to actual games, like paying attention as opposed to just ignoring the Pirates. I say paying attention to actual games as in not thinking about what players they will or won't add, or payroll this, payroll that, which is probably for me the more significant one. There's people for whom the Pirates, you know, they won't come around until July, and then they'll say they were watching all year.
Oh, my brother-in-law is one of these guys. We're watching the game yesterday. He's like, which pitcher do you think they're going to dump at the deadline? And I thought my wife was going to fight him, actually, which would have been kind of an Easter downer. Which, what was otherwise a phenomenal Easter with prime rib.
Things of that
knocking
nature.
Knocking off ham.
Oh, yeah. Boy, sounds like you did it upright. But don't... don't you think that that's part of it, too, though? People have an appetite to talk about the Pirates, yes, but it is always the terms on which they are talking about the Pirates. For the franchise, it has to be 10 days out of 10, they would want to hear criticism of a Clint Hurdle decision in-game because people give a crap, because people wanted to see them start 13-6 and not 12-7 over any big picture stuff. For me, the micro, in their minds, is always more preferable to be talking about than the macro.
Yeah, so if I'm the Pirates and I'm tuning in, which they do, if I'm Frank Coonley and I'm hearing talk show hosts and callers rip either the base runner, the manager, the third base coach.
Always preferable.
I like that.
Always preferable. Because the one person that people typically would rip is not being mentioned whatsoever because he has no bearing on that situation.
And that's the guy with the glasses who owns the team.
Correct.
What's on Tap is brought to you by FatEd's 15 Packs, now available in Sunshine Daydream and Bumbleberry. We'll talk NFL Draft with Jason LaCanfora of CBS Sports at 3 o'clock. Pierre McGuire is going to join us at 4. Jason Mackey at 4:45. Jason's talking to Jim Rutherford right now. Do not do a Jim Rutherford impression here. Resist the temptation and the urge.
Good afternoon, Jason. This is Jim Rutherford. How are you?
To take the show off the rails here. Okay, so what's your spin on what happened at the end of the game yesterday?
One,
what's Malzi's take?
I don't mind the send, I'll be honest with you. And when I watched it over again, and part of it is I had the unfortunate circumstance of watching the game on DVR, knowing the outcome, right? Which always poisons you.
Mm-hmm.
In the moment, though, so what I tried to do was say, if I'm just watching this, how do I feel about it? And I'm fine with it. Why? We've seen the ball rattle around down there. I know Gung is not particularly fast, but there's a stumble by the right fielder on the play.
And a big hop.
And if he goes down after that stumble, even if he scrambles to his feet, grabs the ball, and fires in a perfect throw, and then the relay and everything else is perfect, Gung probably scores because of the amount of time that takes. I don't hate it, man. I'm not going to get mad about it because I think that like the principle of force the major league team to execute a fairly difficult play crisply, I'm okay with. In that part of the field, too. Has that guy ever played right field at PNC?
Dugar?
I don't think so. Probably not. If he has, maybe, what, once or twice? There's always that feature of the unknown part of the park there. Is the ball going to hit the wall and do something wild and crazy? Are you going to slip? Are you not going to have spatial awareness? I don't have a problem with it from that standpoint and vantage point.
Scoring from first on a double to right field, the percentage of converting that play versus having one of your weakest bench players come through with a hit.
Pretty good percentage play there.
You know, believe it or not, they actually track like everything in baseball now.
Mm.
And so I looked this up today. Players score from first on doubles to right field 34% of the time.
Specifically the corner or just the gap? Because the gap he's in.
No, to right field, like down the line.
Okay, that's what I meant.
34% of the time. So is Gung fleet of foot? No. You want to drop that down to, say, 25% because...
Is he a better than 250 hitter is really what you have to come up with here.
Pablo Reyes is a career 235 hitter.
There's your answer. And that's by the way, being charitable or being like knocking Gung down an extra peg for his running. What you're really asking there, and I'm glad you put it in the terms you did at first, is your player who's going to eventually hit in the situation a Hall of Fame level hitter traditionally? A 333 hitter.
Going for an extra 90 feet is just a higher percentage opportunity.
Let me ask you this. If Mike Trout is definitely going to get a chance to hit, right? If it's not Pablo Reyes.
You stop him.
I actually don't know if I do. Because is Mike Trout a career 333 hitter?
Well, actually, no, you don't stop him. You know why? Because Mike Trout gets walked and he never gets an opportunity to hit.
My point is this. The reason I bring up his name is to go back to your percentage play. You probably hold him because if you know Trout is going to be the guy, if they walk a guy intentionally, Trout is looming, then okay, fine. But even then, you're probably making the worst percentage play, aren't you?
Yeah. And I think that there's absolute validity to the idea that Gung should have been pinch run for. But here's the problem with that discussion. If you think Gung should have been pinch run for, you're telling me that you also think Cervelli should have been pinch run for. So Cervelli gets on first with one out. You take Cervelli out of the game. You put Reyes in. Reyes gets cut down at second base on the botched play by Crawford. So there's your second out. Now you've got Gung still standing at first base. You've emptied your bench. You have to bring a pitcher in to run for...
Steven Brault's not doing anything.
And I actually wouldn't have had a problem with that either. But you know what we also learned, I think, from this, and we actually needed to see him labor around the bases, I think, for it to maybe
sink in
for some people. Gung is not even close to the player he used to be. And the sooner the Pirates figure that out, I think the better for everybody. He's just not, man.
Was he ever fast, though?
No, it's just not. It's not just the speed part of it. Well, I think he fielded his position better. I think his range at third base was absolutely better than it is now. That's why I know they had to do it out of necessity the other day, but you put him at shortstop, and it's basically putting... like an anvil over there.
No,
to field the
he can't field shortstop. He's a perfect, I mean, in a perfect world, he's your DH. If you have the
Chris,
DH.
He's not even that good of a hitter anymore.
Well, and I say, and as I say that, what the other thing that was bouncing around in my brain was he used to be a guy whose power was so prodigious that he hammered the ball out of the park. Like he hit tape measure shots. He looks like a guy whose what little feasting he's done has been on mistakes. He's hit pop fly home runs.
Yep.
He doesn't look like a guy barreling the ball very hard.
He's an overrated player at this point. The best thing that can happen for the Pirates as the season matures and moves on is the same, and we'll get to your buddy later on this. It's the same situation. You hope that something motivates the Pirates to promote Hayes from AAA because Gung's not going to get it done over there, and we know what Moran is. He's a really useful bench player who has a little bit of pop, who can play now, I guess, second base, too. Add that to the list. He can play a bunch of different positions, and that's your bench player. And Gung, at 32 years old, I'm sorry, I just do not see him getting back to being the guy he was in 2015 and 2016.
He's Rob Deer. He's Dave Kingman. He's Rob Deer. He's a guy who's maybe going to hit you a home run here or there. He has 8 hits in 56 at bats. He's hitting below 150.
I know. He's hitting 143.
You know what? I believe in WAR probably a lot more than most people, but I think it's a wonderful metric. He's worth slightly less than a replacement player so far this year. I mean, that tells me all I need to know. When he was at his best, he was a pretty damn good baseball player, it seemed. He is not right now. And I don't think it's just like small sample sizes. Timing looks like does he look like a player waiting on pitches and crushing them or guessing? He looks like a guy guessing.
It's bared out again and it's been proven right again. Do not fall in love with spring training numbers. We've watched Matt Haig and Brad Eldred and Craig Monroe and these no-name bums come through and tear up the Grapefruit League, and everybody gets, you know, googly-eyed over it, and then they get promoted, and then the major league season starts. Yeah, I think they do. The Pirates do. I think the Pirates, with Juan Nicasio, they thought that they had found Johan Santana.
Well, maybe
in the Grapefruit League.
Maybe I'm a guy that is so cynical about everything that I feel like the straw man is being made there, and maybe you actually are right.
No, it's not. You know why? Because if Gung hit 3 home runs instead of 7 home runs,
you think Moran has the job?
Yes.
I don't know if I believe that. If you truly believe that is the reason in the case he got the job, then that's not good.
Use your catchphrase.
A dereliction of duty? Mm-hmm. I was going to go with that's people who should know better, not knowing better.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. A lot has been made of the way the Pirates lost the game yesterday. What's your spin on it? 412-928-9370. Are you good to go here, or are we going to take a timeout?
We'll take a timeout. Okay. Mulsey will be ready soon.
We got Eric Hagman coming up. He's in a great mood today. Game of Thrones, Season 8, Episode 2 last night. As everybody talking, it's the PM team. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.